This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialists. As long-time Wraith Rover supporters, we are very familiar with ropey performances. But if you need a service that's more Sam Stanton than Willie Accio, look no further than DIS. Operating across Scotland, they specialise in working at height, offering maintenance, inspection, repairs, and more. So if you've got a problem at a height that even John Fredrickson can't reach, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk to find out more. It has been by far the warmest weekend of the year, and you'd be forgiven for thinking you'd woken up in Carol's Barcelona the last couple of days. But it's the football that's really hotting up. After Partick Thistle edged past Airdrie on Friday night, it's on to the semi-finals of the Premiership playoffs, and time for the mighty Wraith Rovers to enter the ring. Things will reach fever pitch on Friday night at Starks Park, but first it's a Tuesday night trip to Fir Hill. I am Duncan Cameron, and joining me on this episode of the Oh No 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 podcast to preview that first leg, I've got Ian Lattel, first of all. Been a wee while, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Delighted to be back on.
Fantastic. We've got Robbie Weir too. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really good. Enjoyed Thistle and Airdrie battering lumps out of each other, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. We've got Callum Blythe too. How are you, Callum?
Makes change to be seeing Championship football rather than the last two games have been to have been level six in the pyramid.
And we've got Scott Fleming as well. How's the weather been in the Netherlands, Scott? Has it been a scorcher over there as well?
Aye, it's been pretty good the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's been due because we've had murder weather since basically October. So we've broke all levels of rain since the 1920s, basically every month. So thank Christ it's good now, because I am fed up, and as people that's been listening, I am a greenkeeper, so I work outside, so it's been miserable. But now, thankfully, it seems to be turning.
There's no better way to spend a gloriously sunny Sunday afternoon, sitting inside and talking about Rovers. So that's what we'll do. Robbie, we'll start with you. It's obviously been a little while since we found out that we were going to be finishing second. We had to wait to sort of find out who our first playoff opponents would be. But all things considered, are you happier now that we know we're going up against Thistle than you would have been if it was Airdrie?
Yes, very much so. Look, we've got a very good record against Thistle this season, but that's not to say that the games haven't been close. Like, you think the first game, Kieran Mitchell gets that late equaliser. The most recent game at Fir Hill, they hit the post and the bar in the 90th minute. But we still, again, it's unbeaten against them. And Airdrie have fallen apart, which is absolutely lovely, given their big licks at the end of Starks. So get it wrapped right round every single Airdrie Onions fan for giving it big licks all that season. Rhys McCabe was the former manager going into the playoffs. It means absolutely hee-haw now. Enjoy your summer holidays and enjoy the asset stripping that's going to take place of your team that are all out of contract. Looking forward to watching that over the next few weeks.
I feel like you've been sitting on that for a wee while.
Yes.
Ian, there's a bit of a funny dynamic going into this one, with Thistle having played obviously two very high octane, high pressure games in the last week, whereas it's been, you know, a good wee while since the Rovers have had to really kick a ball in anger. Do you think that period of rest can almost be a bit of a double edged sword going into a game like this?
I think you can look at it both ways. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could make a pretty convincing argument for either or. I think the players had the weekend off. I think I saw Ian Davidson and Regan Henry were away with Lewis Vaughan playing golf somewhere, and I think Big Kev was off somewhere. So they've definitely had like a kind of weekend of of chilling out. But yeah, as I say, you could make an argument saying, you know, you're better to keep the ball rolling. Teams that are in the playoffs at the right end are generally in the good and in decent form, and it's maybe better to continue playing games. I don't imagine the players will have minded too much about not having a game this weekend just passed. I think they would have been quite appreciative of having the weekend off, you know, rest up and come back fighting fit for Tuesday. So let's hope that is the case.
I think it'll be interesting to see just how leggy Thistle might be going at the second leg in particular. Because at that point, once you're into four games in, you know, the space of 2 weeks, it's not a big squad that Thistle have got either. A very good starting 11, but there is a fair bit of drop-off in there. Callum, who in that Thistle side concerns you? Who do you want to see the big dangers in that Thistle side?
Oh, it's obviously Brian Graham. Like, there's it's so obviously him, because he's the one who's got over 20 goals this season. He's at, like, what, 22, 23 now? If we're including the league plus the playoffs. I don't think there's many, apart maybe Fitzpatrick, he's also a danger. He's a really good player. It's like them two are like they're the main threats in that Thistle side. But as you were saying, it's like they've got a very good starting 11, but there is a drop off when it comes to the bench. And I think that's what's been the difference between the two sides, us two, this season. The fact that we just have a better bench, we've got a more complete squad than Thistle do, and you can say that by like quite a lot of the championship as well, where it's like starting 11s but maybe not as clear as the others, but when it comes to the bench we're so clear on the others, aside from Dundee United obviously.
The thing with Thistle, as I say, I think is the drop off from their 11 to their bench. Like, I mean, even that seems to be where their injuries are, actually. So things like Brian Graham, previously in the season, early in the season, sorry, they had Tommy Adeloye, who's got, I think, other than Kieran Mitchell, the best kind of goals per minute in the division. He's got 8, and he only ever got 5 minutes at the end of games. But that's a huge option to have that they just don't have anymore. So he's injured. I think Brian Graham, if they need to bring him off at any point, and I don't think they did in either game against Airdrie. It's we get this wrong every time. So is it Rico Diak?
Yeah.
Is the young boys, is the striker they'd have to bring on as a replacement? But I mean, all due respect to Rico Diak, he's no Brian Graham. And I think if we had a 36-year-old forward and we were talking about him having to play four 90 minutes in the space of 2 weeks, we'd all be quite concerned about it. But yeah, there is a certain...
See, the thing for that with me is that the thing is, you know, that Brian Graham's one of these guys that just keeps himself an exceptional nick. Like, I was listening to the Terrace podcast, and like they'd spoken to him before, and he's saying that he only has like 8% body fat or something stupid like that, like a stupid low. And obviously that players at this level are going to be looking after themselves better and better year on year. Sports science has came on leaps and bounds from the day that you pass, like, you go along Pratt Street coming out of Bulwari and you'd see them going in for pot noodles at lunchtime. Like, it's just, it's changed so substantially. But yeah, I don't feel like players being in their late 30s is such a big a deal nowadays. Brian Graham was absolutely imperious on Friday night. And even at the end of the game, he was the one that was back doing the defending when it was backs to the wall as well. Like, you saw him winning the ball, just being that 11th man at the other end of the pitch just to get there. And putting in tackles and flinging themselves at headers and stuff, because he's just a natural winner. And no other support other than Raith Rovers is going to tell you the benefits of Brian Graham outside of Partick, because we saw the other best spell of him. He's had those two peaks in his career. Like, he's came to us after Morton, had the hernia, got the operation, and then he just started flying, went elsewhere, and then he goes in and becomes a Thistle legend with that many goals he scored. So yeah, I don't think we should... I don't think anyone's writing him off. I think that he's such a big game player that he will step up over the next two games, even if he is leggy. He's not going to be bored about that. He's going to be going in full pelt. So,
yeah, I thought at the end of the game, Graham looked visibly knackered, but it's almost not even a negative, because he's the sort of player where you could be not in the game at all, you've got a chance and he'll score. So it's almost irrelevant as to how tired he is. It's just about keeping him on the park and you know, keeping him in the right areas. He's an absolute pest. Like, we know better than anybody. And I think if we're going to have a positive result in these playoffs, it's going to come as a direct result of keeping him quiet, because he's their main man.
That's it. There was more than one person after that second leg said that if you put Brian Graham into that Airdrie side, they win that tie. And I would agree with that entirely. I think they probably end up winning it relatively comfortably. Scott, for you, over those two games, do you think Thistle deserved to go through for that? Do you think that their performance kind of warranted the result?
To be honest, I thought over the two legs, for the 180 minutes, I thought it was actually pretty even, to be honest. And I think it would have been unfair on either team to have lost by more than a goal, because I did think it was very even. As like the Tuesday night game, I mean, arguably Airdrie came out sort of firing, scored early. Partick kind of looked a bit, not shell-shocked, but they did look a little bit rocked by it. And then it took about till sort of, basically until Thistle equalised, till they actually kind of got going. But and then Friday night, it just summed it up. If you've got a striker that just knows where the goal is and just gets into areas which causes problems for centre-halves, they're going to score more often than not. And at the end of the day, I must agree with that statement of put Brian Graham pretty much into any team in the Championship, and he's probably going to make that team better because he's going to score goals every time. So I think they had plenty of the ball. They passed it for side to side, occasionally went forward with it, but I thought that they were passing it for passing's sake at times. And I think I put it into our group chat that Adam Frizzell was a big miss for them as well. I think he's their captain, but also just he's the one that kind of breaks, breaks the lines, and sort of he gets them going basically with attacks all the time, him, Charlie Telford. But Telford looked a different player with him. He was kind of thinking that he had to take up more of Frizzell's role when Telford's usually just playing second fiddle to him. But it's a squad game, and they unfortunately came out on the wrong end for them. But I mean, for us, I think we said before last week that most people were wanting Partick purely down to the records this season. I still think it would have came down to we would have fancied ourselves anyway against the Airdrie, just the fact that it's two games and you never know what happens in the playoffs. But no, I'm happy it's Partick. I just hope that we manage to keep Brian Graham quiet. And that's really, if we do that, I'm quietly confident we'll go through.
I think it's really going to come down to how well we can use our midfield, I think. Because that, as you say, I think that's where Airdrie in the second leg kind of let themselves down a little bit. There were loads of possession, loads of the ball, but just couldn't really do anything with it. And then Thistle, in the nicest way possible, were at times just knocking it long, but deliberately, because that's where the space was. And if you've got someone like Aidan Fitzpatrick, put it within, you know, 20 yards of him and he'll still make a run and make the fullback work for it. I mean, we know how good Mego has been this season, and he was excellent over those two legs as well, I thought. But he had to work so hard, because every time Thistle were just knocking it into the channel and letting Fitzpatrick go at him. But that I think is where the opportunity is. If they're as open as that in the middle, if you can actually get your foot in the ball but then get at them through the middle of the park, I think Thistle are there to be got at. You know, there's a reason that they've got the best striker in the division and they finished third. You know, that's, as we said there, you put Brian Graham in a lot of teams and they get remarkably better. And that's with them, Thistle, you know, still not world beaters. I definitely think there's a lot of room for optimism, I think, going at this one. Thistle very, very good at what they do, but it's quite obvious, if you know what I mean. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like, they're not a side that are going to beat you 14 different ways. If you're going to get beat by Partick Thistle, you know how you're going to get beat by them. And it's going to be Fitzpatrick getting the better of his fullback. It's going to be Brian Graham turning crosses in from somewhere closer than the penalty spot, or getting bullied at set pieces. So it will be interesting to see how it goes. I think it's said earlier in the week that I think between Thistle, the Rovers and Airdrie, I think all three sides, when they're quite poor, I think are all about the same. I think their basements in terms of performance levels are all roughly about the same. But it's when they're on their day, I think that's where you've got the Rovers are better than Thistle, are better than Airdrie. You know, when they're at their very best. And it's really that. I think if both teams play relatively poorly, you're looking at a draw. If both teams play really well, I think that's where the Rovers could actually get an edge on. But we talked about Airdrie a lot. Talked about Thistle a lot. Let's talk about the Rovers a little bit. Cal, it's been a little bit of time, really. I mean, it feels like it's actually been a long time since we saw the Rovers, but certainly since we saw them in a competitive game. Who, for you, and we'll do full lineups in a wee bit, but who's kind of first names on the team sheet for you for a game like this?
I was obviously going to say Kevin Gold, but then again, we've only had to drop him because he got injured. But apart from that, Stanton, Vaughan, Turner. Kyle Turner had a really good game, not only against Arbroath at the weekend, but last time we were at Firhill, he had a really good game as well, and he knows how they play. So I'd like to think that Turner will get a start at some point over these next two games. And also just ask a reward for that performance against Arbroath.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually, because I've seen a bit of chatter this week about that game in Arbroath, specifically about Kyle Turner, but also about Scott McGill. Now, obviously, we talked about that game previously, but Ian, just how much do you think, can you play your way into a manager's thoughts in a game that's as meaningless as that Arbroath game was, do you think?
Certainly don't think he's done himself any harm with his level of performance in that game, and it's given Ian Murray a decision to make. I've got Turner in my team. I scored Cam Smith out and put Kyle Turner. So for me, I think he deserves a start. I think he was he's kind of come onto a game a wee bit recently. I thought he started quite well then, faded in the middle, but he's really come onto a game again recently. So just the whole kind of Partick Thistle dynamic and stuff, I think he's probably a worthwhile starter in the away game.
And are you keeping him wide left where he was against?
Yeah, I think just putting him in the same position. Vaughan's going to play off. Vaughan's going to play off the front, so he's not going to play in that position. And he's not at his best if he's playing further back. So I think in left midfield is probably the best place to put him. So yeah, that's where I've got him.
Yeah, that's exactly where I've got him as well. For exactly that reason, I thought that even taking into account the fact that Arbroath were already kind of checked out, and I thought he was excellent. I thought he was doing what you would want him to do. I think the other thing with this is Thistle's right back, Jack McMillan, who I'm a big fan of, but he came off with about 10 minutes to go against Airdrie on Friday there, despite the fact that they don't actually have another right back. So I can only assume he was either injured to some degree or just absolutely shattered. And that's not a long recovery time to come back. So I think whoever is on that left-hand side, let's say I've got Kyle Turner there, there is almost the opportunity but also the sort of the duty to go and give Jack McMillan a really tough time and just make him work and keep at him and see if you can get some change out of him. Robbie, what about you? Anybody that's kind of right at the forefront of your thoughts when you're looking at this game? Anybody who you think is a big game player on the evidence of this season?
To focus on sort of the defensive side, it'll be key to sort of have that element. I know we've spoken about Brian Graham to a big degree already, but there's big questions as to like how we're going to start off defensively. We've had a few clean sheets in a row. and we've tinkered a bit at the back. I don't necessarily would go with Scott McGill at left back, given how Liam Dick's been for like the second half of the season. I think Liam Dick's been really solid, unbeaten captain, as Graham Meldrum puts it, so I would have him in from the start. Big question really, how fits Keith Watson, how fits Dylan Corr, whether Dylan Corr, we've not really heard much in the media, it's been sort of touch and go as to whether he's going to be fit for Tuesday, if he's going to be in the squad. I would still keep James Brown in there as well, so you're really a lot of big questions as to who we have at the back, because that really then puts Scott Brown in midfield if you've got that extra centre-back free. Because we know that Scott Brown, and I know that Thistle fans have sort of taken the mick about Scott Brown before and how influential he is sort of last season. Leslie's mentioned that before on the podcast, but he's a huge player if you put him into the middle. He just gives that engine and that drive that I don't think Ross Matthews and Scott Sean Byrne both definitely offer it to a degree, but not really to the same extent that you get with Scott Brown, who can really push a team forward and take the ball and run with it. So yeah, that's the main sort of focus for me and how we're performing for Tuesday. But I think that, as you say, McMillan's going to be a doubt for them, and that could be a sort of area to unpick. So I would agree with you about Turner on the left-hand side and giving them something to worry about, because if we can give them a bit of a torrid time, then hopefully I know that a lot's made in terms of who finishes where in these playoffs when third and fourth then need to play second. I think second's actually, I know a lot of people go on about sort of, well, it's all set up to favour the top flight, but I think to a degree, if you finish second, you get that extra week off to rest and recuperate. It's not a silver bullet by any means. It doesn't guarantee a passage to the final, but it certainly gives you a little bit of an advantage that you can recoup. And we've said all along, the last thing we wanted was to be going into these playoff games having lost a title on the final day. That's not happened. We've run Dundee United hella close, but let's see how we do. Let's see if that extra week's had an impact, and if Partick do start getting leggy, then we've got the depth to cause some issues. So I don't think that anyone should be under any doubts that we can put on a show and cause some issues.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Thistle, obviously were in the playoffs last year, and there was a lot of talk. I mean, Brian Graham was talking after that game on Friday night there about how the playoffs are set up to favour the Premiership side. But last year, they played Queen's Park, first of all, on a Tuesday-Friday. So the Tuesday, they won 4-3. But then the Friday game, they won 4-0. So they were quite comfortable, you know, 4-0. Pretty comfortable. So there's time there to be kind of conserving energy. And then there was a full week. So the semi-finals, so the equivalent games that we're talking about here, were a Friday-Friday again. So they actually had a full week before they play their United. Beat them 3-0. So again, relatively comfortable after the first leg. And then a full week before the second leg, when they beat them 5-0. Before they then had almost a full week and played Ross County. So it's very different. Again, if you're looking for positives and all that kind of stuff, last year, they had longer between games and then more comfortable games. Whereas with that, and it's two games in a week, then they're right into us on Tuesday night. And, you know, Airdrie put them down to the wire. That wasn't, like, hugely... I don't know what you use, but when I was watching that game, I never really felt like Airdrie were going to get an equaliser. But the fact that they did keep it down to a single goal, you know, Thistle are working that full 90 minutes. So it will be interesting to see how they go. Another thing just from that game as well, I'd like to see the Rovers just kind of ping a couple of shots in at that goalkeeper early on. But Airdrie were very... I mean, Scott, you already said it. There was a lot of passing about from Airdrie. But, David Mitchell's not great, I don't think.
That's poor.
He's actually... He can make some really decent saves. He's one of these guys who pulls out some unbelievable saves sometimes, but equally drops a lot, flaps at stuff, pushes shots back into dangerous areas, and they just didn't test him enough, as far as I'm concerned, especially, you know, in these kind of later periods, a lot of knocking it about around the edge of the box. I think I'd like to see the Rovers be a wee bit more, you know, more proactive at just checking out what he can do. Right, let's do a little bit of lineups then, just while we're on it. Scott, come to you first of all. And yeah, talk us through your lineup. Pick out anybody in particular that you want to highlight, please.
This is the favourite part of these sort of pre-match. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few question marks for a lot of players in terms of we went into the final, what, three games with players all getting rested. Some were injured, some were just getting rested. So it's kind of actually quite difficult to see who's going to be back for these games, or are they all going to be back? Is there going to be some missing? So I've got a couple of players that I've got down with a question mark next to them because they've maybe been missing, but I would like them to play if they're fit. So I've got, obviously, Kevin Goals. I'm actually, just because he's been doing it the last few weeks of the season, and I think he kept a clean sheet in both of the games, I'm keeping Ross Matthews at right back. And I purely do it to the fact that he's competent at right back, but also he's good on the ball, and he's somebody that in a playoff game you want him to be, he's going to be up for it. Whereas I'm not saying that James Brown won't be up for it, but I just think that Ross Matthews, I think, can give us even that slight bit more attack minded down that sort of right hand side as well. And I just feel that James Brown, that's the only thing that maybe lacks in his game, that he doesn't often go for an overlap or doesn't really look to do too much in the attacking half, which, I mean, first of all, he is a defender anyway, but I've gone with that. Whether it happens, I don't know. I've got Watson and Murray at centre-half again. Watson with a question mark. He might be fit, I don't know. But if they're both fit, I'd play them both. I just think when you've got somebody as experienced as Brian Graham, let's put our two most experienced centre-halves against them, because I think there's going to be balls into the box. Watson, Murray, that's what they like, is balls put into the box to head them away. So, and then obviously Deco at left-back. Just Miguel played well, but I'm sorry, it would be a bit too harsh on Deco, but also I think that you can't just play him in a one game against bottom of the league and just think that he's the next Nesta. Like, it's just not going to happen. But and then I've got, obviously it's a 4-2-3-1 as well. I'm going, there's and so my two is Stanton and Bruni. I think that I've been one of Bruni's biggest fans since he came to the club. I think last year a lot of folk put up, oh, he's came for Peterhead, he's no this, he's came for League One, they've not been that good. Bruni's stepped up every game he's played, and he's actually taken over the captaincy. Wouldn't have been easy being a new player as well, and I think he's actually been brilliant since he's came in. He was possibly one of our players of the season last year, but also this year. He's just so consistent, and I just want him to play his position instead of playing centre-half, because I feel that this year it's hampered him, even though he's been fine, but there has been games he struggled. So I've got them two in midfield. Stanton, the player of the year for a reason. So I've got him. He was the first name on my team sheet anyway. I've got Connolly on the right, Turner at 10, and Mullen on the left. I think I just want to see Turner get his chance again after you guys have said he was brilliant. And he's came on a bit of a game again, so I think it's fair enough to put him back in. I know you guys have probably got him on the left. I just would like him at 10 because I've actually got Vaughan up front. And I've not gone with Hamilton or Rudden purely because I actually want to see us play football against Partick. They've got defenders that want balls in the box. I'd rather that we're playing it on the ground more and actually popping shots off at Mitchell, like you say. So I think if you've got Vaughan, Turner, Mullen, Connolly, they all can have a right good pop for 25-20 yards. So I think that's the sort of front four I would go with for my lineup.
I like that, Scott. I like that kind of attacking setup. And I think there's really solid logic in that as well. I mean, the last game at Firhill, we beat them 1-0, and Ewan Murray scored that header from Kyle Turner's free kick. Felt like both Rudden and Hamilton just... It was a funny game. Jack Hamilton had kind of three or four chances that all kind of were chances and kind of weren't really, where, you know, I think the Was
it the one the goalie kicked it straight at Hamilton?
Yeah, I was trying not to say XG there, and I can't think of another way to explain this point. It feels like if you just map those out in a real stats nerd way, you'd be like, he should have scored a hat-trick. But actually, they were all really forgivable. Because there's one that pops about 4 yards off the line, but it pops up and hits him in his hip. There's the one, as you say, the keeper coughs up right in front of him. You know, there's other chances in that game. Oh, there's one he goes through and he tries to knock it over the keeper's head, and he just can't get, and he gets back in time. And then Ruddon kind of came on for the back end of that game, and I just couldn't really get much out of it either. I would not be disappointed in the slightest, actually, to see Wes Vaughan at the Forest forward. That's not what I've gone with, but I do like your thinking. The other point I wanted to pick up from that was right back, because I was the same thought process as you. I really kind of agonised over whether it should be Ross Matthews or James Brown. And when I started off, I did have Ross Matthews in, but I've changed my mind and I've gone with James Brown on the basis of, if Thistle are going to do you any damage, I think it's going to come through Fitzpatrick. And almost on a game-by-game basis, I'm quite happy to have really quite a defensive fullback on that side for this one. If it was on the other side, I'd be much less concerned, actually. But for that, I think I've gone James Brown. And then quickly, just to the rest of mine, for some reason, I just have... I don't have a great feeling about Keith Watson. I just don't feel like he's not going to come back in. Hopefully, I'm just setting myself up to be kind of pessimistic so that I get a nice surprise on Tuesday. But I've gone Dubrovsky goals, James Brown, Scott Brown, Ewan Murray and Liam Dick. I've got Ross Matthews and Sam Stanton as my holding midfield. I have gone Mullen wide right, Vaughan at 10, Turner wide left for reasons previously discussed. And I have got Jack Hamilton up front. Cal, just run us through your lineup, please.
I had a 11. I think I've made 4 or 5 changes to it since we started recording. So it's like for right back, I have gone with James Brown, but I have put like / Matthews because I could see it changing depending on what game it is. Like it could be either on either game. Got Dabrowski in goal. Watson and Murray are centre-backs because, as you said, 2 experienced centre-halves against Brian Graham. Liam Dick, left-back. I've got Scott Brown and Sam Stanton as 2 centre-mids. I've got Josh Mullen on the right, Kyle Turner on the left, and I've got Vaughan as a number 10 with Callum Smith up front. I just think Smith's just... there's like Hamilton and Ruddon have been a bit off it for a few games, in my opinion, and Smith and Vaughan linked up really well against Arbroath. Of course, there is the sort of caveat of it was a dead rudder game, but it was pretty much just a training match at times. But I'd like to see Carl Smith get an opportunity up front again.
Yeah, it's a fair shout. Robbie, the rest of your lineup, please. You give us your defence.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny because just listening to Scott's lineup, I feel like we always caveat with obviously Kev being like the description of it any time that we're putting goalkeepers in goals over the last few weeks. So yeah, following that, big Kev in goals. I would keep the back line being like tried and tested. So Liam Dick, Ewan Murray, Keith Watson, if he's fit. I would have James Brown. I fully agree with what you said, Duncan, that I think it's quite important to have a defensive-minded fullback in there. And James Brown's perfect for that against Fitzpatrick. It should be able to do the job and try and nullify him and keep him quiet, because with a game like this, it is about as much as keeping them quiet as it is about what we do as a team and what our attacking players do. So I think that he'd be a shout in there. If Keith Watson is fit, as I said, then you get your Scott Brown and Ross Matthews as your holding midfielders. I think that Scott Brown, as I touched on before, he's got the energy and the engine to get us further the ball up the pitch into that sort of attacking final third, where you would have Kyle Turner. I would have Sam Stanton as the number 10. Just get him to do Sam Stanton things. He's got, again, the drive, the determination, and we know that he is that type of player that can win you big matches. Just look at his Derby record this season. We all love Sam Stanton for that. So just to have him doing those types of things can really drive us on as a team. And I think that's really where you see the benefit of a player like that. On the right, I'm really torn. Callum Smith's obviously had this double against Arbroath, but Josh Mullen for me would be an option there. I think that Josh offers so much going forward, delivering balls into the box. And then up top, I would have Lewis Vaughan. Just the form that he's in, he's free scoring at the moment. So Brian Graham's going to get a lot of the attention at the moment, but for me, Lewis Vaughan's just one of the finest players in the division, putting the ball in the back of the net. And again, one thing that I would say going into these playoffs is that we really have flown under the radar as a club. I don't think that anyone's given us the credit. The full focus has gone to Airdrie and Partick Thistle, and I know that a lot of people are going to be happy about that. I think that we can rock up to Firhill and shock a few people with what we do. They're going to be fully up for it with the end of that game that they had on Friday, because you look at the atmosphere, that's one of the best atmospheres that you're going to see in the lower leagues. I can't really recall anything like it. It's up for us to go out there and spoil it, and I've got full belief. Whatever lineup Ian Murray puts out, if we stick together, then we've got a real good chance of going there. And either team out of us and Partick should be optimistic. But what happened to St Johnstone yesterday, I know it's not guaranteed in the playoffs, but if either of us come up against St Johnstone in the playoff finals, I think that you would fancy our chances. So it's all about these next two games and how we do. This is what our season comes down to. So if you're in the crowd, I know that we're going to take a full support through. Just get behind the team. If there's misplaced passes, then get on players' backs, stick behind them, because that's really, really important for the next few days. This is what it all comes down to. These are the matches that you want to be involved in. You don't want last season's dead rubbers that we had for about seven games to go and we're playing for you absolutely hee-haw. These are the matches that we need to be involved in and that we need to be up for. So hopefully a really raucous Rover support and we can remind everyone who we are and what we're doing.
Yeah. See, I was going to say, it's like we've flown under the radar, but it's like we finished, 11 points clear of...
We were the form team going into the playoffs, and I know that counts for nothing, but if you looked at the last five games, we have more draws and wins than either a Partick and Airdrie. Nobody mentions it, though.
Yeah, I think it's because we've been second for so long, it's like our focus was with Dundee United. I think people sort of forgot about we were here in the playoffs. It's all about Partick and Airdrie.
14 points ahead of Thistle in the end.
Is it 14?
Yeah.
Oh, why? Because they lost to Dundee United and we beat Arbroath. It was 11 before that. See, that's like a huge gap. That's even with us fucking it multiple times against Arbroath and Airdrie.
Again, it doesn't matter for anything now. We're back on a level playing field and we've got that wee rest. So everything that's happened before is irrelevant. We've just got to focus on the next. I know it's classic cliche manager talk, but just focus on the next two games because everything else before has been irrelevant. So...
You're going to get stuck in the dressing room at this rate.
Put in Graham Kilgara before me because I would go to war for that guy, like.
Ian, I know you've still got to give us your lineup, but I'm going to ask you about the atmosphere as well, because Robbie's made a really good point there. That end of that game on Friday did look... Yeah, I think you're right, Robbie. I can't think of many kind of lower league atmospheres that you'd see that would rival that. I think separate to this kind of game... There's a lot to be said for the way that Thistle have built up their support over the last few years and the things they've done, kind of initiatives that they've had to kind of build up that atmosphere at home. There's a lot to be admired and a lot to be copied there, to be quite honest. But that's one thing as well, that these games come in thick and fast that might work in their favour. As you say, Robbie, is they've got very, very recent memories of Firhill absolutely bouncing, both the players and the fans, because that's going to start off at almost at that level. You know, they're going to turn back up.
You had Wasiri Williams, their centre-back, he was leading their crowd in there. That's what we're up against, so keep that in mind.
But that's where, first of all, that's where the players can shut that down, you know, so quickly. So we've said it before, it's obviously it's theoretical, but you score in the first minute, that turns off, you know, like a light. But you also obviously your away supports could play a huge part in that as well. And at time of recording, there's still tickets available for the away end. I don't know quite how many. I don't think that's, I've not seen an update on that. But Ian, as I say, you've still given us your starting 11, but also how important do you think this away atmosphere can be, and do you think we'll sell out that away end on Tuesday night?
So just before we go on to that, just to touch on the Thistle atmosphere, it is good, but that boing boing song is fucking awful. I don't want to ever hear that ever again, so we better win. We better win twice, because I don't want to hear it. Muck. However, in terms of our atmosphere, of course it's always important. Of course it's always important. You know, it's such a positive benefit to the players, and you hear them all talking about it all the time, saying how important it is. Scott, I know me and you had a wee... disagreement sounds too harsh. Conversation about whether or not we were going to sell out the away end. I think we will. What was it? How many tickets did we get? Was it 1,500 in the end? Is that what came out? So we've done about. I would imagine, if I was to guess, we've probably sold about 1,000 so far. And then you'll obviously get people in the next couple of days kind of making a last minute decision and stuff. But yeah, let's go. Let's make some noise. Let's totally get behind the boys. And it's as Robbie, as you're saying, and your rabble rousing. previous bit there, like, this is what it's all about. This is why you got the fat war. The whole season's been like this. I know it's been a wee while since I've been on, but I remember saying this in the past, like, if you can't enjoy this, what are you actually enjoying? So get yourself along to Firhill on Tuesday and get behind the team. This is what it's all about.
I think it's going to be a good stand to be in as well, and I say this having said the opposite of that previously, because even when you're just stuck in that one side, because it's like, for as far as like a normal league game is concerned, if we're bringing a sort of half-decent one, they put us in the opposite side, the what I like to call the Regan-Hendry corner of Firhill, and I normally prefer being in there, as opposed to kind of shunted into one end of the sort of what is really is the main stand, but that they don't put any home fans in, which is weird. But I think a big support in that Colin Weir stand should be decent. You know, you know, how many away games do you go to, like bigger games, and you're kind of in a corner, or you're in a, you know, a funny part of a ground, but actually having right along one side, I think really could work in our advantage. It gives you a real chance to, yeah, put a dampener on the atmosphere and you know, we'll build an atmosphere for the Rovers. But yes, sorry, Ian, I interrupted you there. Give you a lineup. Anybody in particular, say, you want to shout out, or... I was going to say you want to leave it. You could slag somebody off if you want at the moment.
I think I'll miss that.
It wouldn't really be the time for that.
No, I don't think so. You've all made incredibly compelling arguments as to why you were going to have kind of players in and players out, and I've actually scribbled out names and then written them back in, and then scribbled them out again, and then written them back in, just as like all you guys were talking. So I've gone with Kev and goals, obviously. Dick, Watson, Murray, and then I had Brown, and then... Scott, you convinced me to put Matthews, and then Duncan, you convinced me to then change it back to Brown. I'm glad I'm not in charge, because that'd be terrible. But I have gone for Brown, purely just because we're away. Purely just from the fact of being away from home. I think if the game was at home, I would consider it a wee bit more going with Matthews. But it also depends how balanced the game is. So, you know, like if we're going on Friday night and we're 2-0 down, you're not going with James Brown at right back. But if you're going there with a 2-0 lead, you might. Do you know what I mean? So it probably totally depends on the dynamic of the tie at the time. I've gone for Scott Brown and Sam Stanton. This is also 4-2-3-1 because I'm incapable of picking any other formation. Brown and Stanton. And then I've gone for Smith on the right, Vaughan in the middle, and Turner on the left with Hamilton up front. Scott, I did enjoy your argument just about kind of Vaughan playing up front and that allowing us to play a bit more football. I think that probably lends itself to a wee bit more of keeping the ball on the deck, just for obvious reasons. Like, if you've got Lewis Vaughan going up against the brute that is Aaron Muirhead, then he's not going to win any headers. But I'm a Hamilton stan, man. Like, I love him. I know he's not scored as many as he probably should have, and he'll probably tell you the same thing this year. I just think his all-round gameplay and the way that he brings others into play, the amount of headers that he wins, the positions that he gets himself into, I think he's a net positive for the team when he plays, so I would definitely go with him at nine.
Seeing as I'm the only Ross Matthews one here this week, one reason I also went with Connolly in front of him was the fact that Connolly works his ass off and he's constantly back helping his fullback. I mean, when we talk about said redacted right back earlier in the season, he had such a... He had such a good partnership with him for a season and a half that he always worked back to help his mate out. So I think if Matthews is feeling like he's going to have a tough time with Fitzpatrick, Connolly knows how good Fitzpatrick will be, so he'll know I need to be charging back and helping him out. So I think if you almost double him up there, then you can get away with not a official right back. But to be fair, I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed if James Brown plays. I mean, he's a perfectly fine player, but I just think that for our game, if we want to impose our game, I would rather we went with Ross Matthews. But that was just my only caveat to having Matthews in it.
Good point, actually, just in terms of, I think whoever plays on that right wing is going to have to be switched on defensively anyway. You got Harry Milne will play left back for Thistle, and he's not backwards about coming forwards. But I think actually, even as you just, I think all the guys we've proposed playing at right wing, I think Callum Smith, Josh Mullen and Aidan Connolly have all actually at one point or another this season been given that task of, you know, defending from the front. I mean, Josh Mullen has played right back a couple of times and right wing back. I think that will be important. I think when you work through this Thistle team, the injuries that you've got, I think you can actually pinpoint, like, right, Brian Graham, he's the most dangerous. Aidan Fitzpatrick is the next most dangerous. And then normally you'd be like, right, Stephen Lawless, well, he's injured, so he's not there. And actually, then you then start to get a bit of a drop-off. And it starts to be like, well, actually, then Harry Milne at left-back is one of their next most... And actually, you start to kind of be able to close them down by numbers almost. You know, at a certain point.
Quite interesting to see that some of their fans were a bit critical of Kerr McEnroy. I've always thought that he was like a really standout player for them, but I don't know. Interesting to see how he steps up.
I think Kerr McEnroy and Blair Alston occupy kind of the same space in my mind. And it's actually, funnily enough, what the boy Macbeth did the other night, which is that they will play in the midfield. They will play fine. Like, they'll win tackles, they'll play passes, and then just as you start to think, I'm not convinced they're all that, they just rifle one in from 30 yards. And you're like, they're brilliant. I always forget how brilliant they are. And then they just tail off and tail off and tail off. To like, they're pesh. Oh, no, banged another one in from 30
yards.
That's
Alston to a T. Like, he, again, I was talking about how close all the games have been so far. I neglected to mention the last game at Stark Park, they literally brought Blair Alston on in the final minute for a free kick, which he rattled off the bar. So you can't discount anyone. Playoffs are like that. It's just, you know.
I see that. Luke Macbeth is the perfect example of that. Like, Airdrie started that game pretty well, and then this guy, who's literally never scored a senior goal before, fires one in from 25 yards. So you're always going to have that kind of possibility. But it will be very interesting to see first half, especially how the pattern of the game develops, because Thistle didn't start either of those games particularly well. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And let's do predictions. We'll use that as a gauge of optimism and confidence. And I'm going to abuse my position. I'm going to go first. I think this is going to be one of the performances of the season for the Rovers. And I know that's real famous last word stuff, but actually, the more I've been thinking about it, the more I'm talking about it, I think a lot of this is lined up for this to go quite well for the Rovers, which is normally when things go wrong, but I'm refusing to let those kind of thoughts enter my head. I think we're going to take a really solid lead into this second leg. I'm going to say 3-1. And even at that, I think that one's going to come late on just to kind of keep us on our toes and stop us from getting too comfortable. But I am... really quite confident about this one. Ian, prediction from you, please.
I think both teams are probably looking at this first leg with, let's not get beat. You know, like, I think both teams will fancy their chances in the second leg as long as it's close. So on that basis, I've gone 1-1. I'm not going to predict our goal scorer because it's a waste of words, to be honest. But, but yeah, 1-1 KG affair.
Fair play. Robbie, prediction from you, please.
I fully agree with what Ian said there, that I think that it's very much a case that you'll probably find both teams will be quite cagey at the start of this game, just with like nobody really wants to go in and lose that early goal to give impetus to the other side, particularly with us being an away team. I think it'll be a 2-2 draw though. I can see being a 2-2 draw, and I think that we've got a really good record against Thistle at Starks. I know, again, doesn't really count for much because, as we've seen with Airdrie this season, you can have a great record going into things, like Cali Thistle did against us, like Dunfermline's home record, and then it just gets completely obliterated within the matter of a few minutes. So yeah, I'm going for a score draw at 2-2.
All right. Callum, prediction from you, please.
God. It'll be entertaining to say the least. I said this last time, it not being 0-0, so sorry. I'm thinking, the thing is, we've had the extra rest, but then it's also playoffs and Park will be flying. So I'm going to go with 2-0 to the Rovers, but I can very easily see it being something just completely mad, just like 3-3, just out of nowhere. I could see that happening.
Well, certainly your television audience would enjoy that. I'm not convinced I would enjoy a 3-3 quite as much.
If we came from 3-0 down, then we would enjoy it.
Yeah, to be fair, you're absolutely right. Right, Scott, in terms of the game, final word from you on this one, please.
Yeah, pretty much kind of echo what Robbie and Ian have said. I can see both teams scoring, and just it's going to be tight. I think both teams are going to go and want to be, well, one, make sure they're still in the tie come the second leg on Friday, but that, yeah, don't lose it. I think that's very much what happened on Tuesday night between Airdrie and Partick. Don't lose the tie, and it finished 2-2. I'm going to just say that we might nick it, and I think we might nick it quite late. I'm going to say 2-1 Rovers, but and I think it could be actually our player of the season to score late in the game to win it. I think Stanton's going to have... He's not went off the boil, but he's just been a bit quiet in the last few weeks of the season. I think he's just saving himself for the playoffs. I think he's going to come out and score a late winner and give us that slender lead going into the Friday night game, so I'll say 2-1.
Certainly it would be the least surprising thing if Sam Stanton turned up in big games. You know, that's he's done it all season, and would not be surprised to see that again. All right. Well, as is customary now for a pre-match, we have another round of Should McStay or Should Dar Go to round us off for today. And I think it would be technically Blair's shot, but in his absence, Robbie, I think you've got one lined up for us.
Yep.
So over to you.
Yeah, it was our six clues about a past or present Rover, and take your pick and guess who it is. So number one, I am a winger.
Well, his name went midfielder, he's went winger.
Bobby Barr.
Scott McBride.
You shite.
That's
Grant
the next Anderson. Clue.
Scott?
Nathan Flanagan.
Interesting. Right, number two. I spent this season at a championship club.
Is Kai Fotheringham a winger?
Yep.
I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
That could be a good shout, actually.
I'm now doing that thing that I do when I listen to the podcast where I can't think of any players.
And you just goodness. Pause it.
Yeah, exactly. Pause now and have a think about it.
I'm trying to remember the teams in our league now.
I'm going to go for Josh Mullen.
I'm not sure if he's a winger, but Louis Longridge?
It's certainly not Scott McBride, but I'm just going to wait for the next clue at this point.
Right, that's fair enough. Number three, my former clubs include Falkirk and Dunfermline.
Hold on a minute, Dunfermline.
That's what I'm thinking.
He was definitely at Falkirk, but I don't know if he was at Dunfermline.
I'm not sure if he was
at Dunfermline. Is there more than those clubs in his back catalogue? Or is that,
yes.
is that just
two? That's just the more than
that. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to stick for now.
Go.
Yeah, I'll just stick with Longridge as well.
Duncan?
Yeah. Nothing further to add.
Shake of the head from Ian.
Next clue.
Next clue. Next clue. I spent half a season on loan at Raith Rovers, playing 13 games and scoring one goal.
I still don't know if he played for Dunfermline, but I do think it could be Fotheringham.
I think it might actually be Kai Fotheringham.
I just don't remember him being at the past.
No. The other ones do fit, though.
And I'm pretty certain Louis Longridge scored more than one goal.
Yeah, Kai Fotheringham played as many as 13 games for us.
He was only half a season.
He broke his ankle.
He got injured, yeah.
And it was really, I would have said less than five. Would have
did he actually score? Years.
He should have
made it 5-3 in the Hamilton game, which he didn't score, but
it's like burned into everyone's brains, that Hamilton game.
Honestly, I don't remember him scoring for us.
Also, I mean, this is real like metagaming, but I just don't think Robbie would have picked Kai Fotheringham a while. I think he's too obvious.
I'm sticking with Louis Longridge just because I just don't believe that Fotheringham was at the pass. And it's probably nobody that anybody's mentioned.
Just
who did Kai Kennedy play for this season?
He was at York City or something.
York City.
Okay.
Right, I'm gonna remove this thought from my own brain because I'm not getting anywhere with it. Is there any chance Robbie's trying to trick us about playing in the English Championship? Is there anybody who's played for us who's good enough to be in the English Championship at the moment?
No comment.
But if... but then there's 24 championship clubs that then you have to remember.
And then they'll have like 4 or 5 wingers, so that's an extra like 100 players that have to rattle off.
I just feel like surely in the Scottish Championship between the four of us, we'd have worked out one
listen,
of the
it,
20
it might
wingers
go,
that
it might
possibly
be.
Kai
Fotheringham, and he's just went, let's go with somebody relevant.
You all right, Duncan?
Not really. How many coins have we had? We had 4.
We're on 4.
Right, okay.
2 more.
Yep, 2 more.
I just don't want it to get to the point where you're like spelling out his name.
Yeah.
I don't want his initials coming at me again.
You want the next clue?
Nah, give him the next clue.
My one goal came against Rangers.
Oh, it's Louis Longridge. He scored a belter in that game against Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has played for those teams.
Yeah, well, that would lead us into clue 6. The majority of my career was with Hamilton Academical, but I'm currently playing at Queen's Park. So, yeah, Scott, that was well done.
Very good.
Well deduced.
I just wasn't sure if he was classed as a winger. That was the only thing that was... Because he's played, like, 10. He's played in midfield, so...
But I would have put my life on him scoring more than one goal.
So did
I.
I would have said more than 13 games as well,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, I'm just going off Wikipedia, so to be fair.
Did he do two spells at us?
No, I just spent the one.
Oh,
he was after us, he went back to Aki's, and then he went on to, was that Falkirk and Dunfermline for a bit. He scored for Falkirk against us in the game that Connor Salmon scored that goal, and then the 2-2 draw. I remember celebrating that goal very passionately, and one of my mates had just started going to the Rovers game, like, all right, calm down. Why are you celebrating that so much? Turns out it was the goal that won us the league.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, you're listening on the audio front, everyone's away looking for Louis Longridge goals for Dave Roberts. Stats to prove me wrong, because that's what happens.
It was an absolute belter that he did score, though, against the Rangers, right in front of them as well.
And then James Craigan got the opposite. He got a wee trundler in, because Fodderingham chucked it in.
He basically scored that goal that Louis Vaughan's been trying to score for about four seasons in a row now, where the boy just lets the ball run across his body and then swings his boot at it. I was looking out just to see if, like, maybe he played like a League Cup group stage. So it was like 13 league games, but then also played loads of... No, he didn't. He played...
Second half of the season.
Yeah, 15 games all in, but like 13 league games.
Was it more than one goal?
No, one goal.
Wow.
Very, very good wind-up merchant. Louis Longridge was. I remember that against St Mirren. Like, we played their place, and that was proper when they were going through their boo era of booing everything that was happening at their club. Very enjoyable, that venue. And I kicked the ball into the stand and just laughing at their fans. It was great.
13 regular league games and 2 playoff games for us.
That's the quickest anyone's got. Scott, the second guess you were on,
was
that?
The second one, I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
it's
sorry. I was typing away into Google Sheets, keeping track of everyone's answers. That's the easiest way to do it, I think.
Yeah, that's an impressive performance, Scott. You possibly could have sold it with slightly more confidence. We all would have been more impressed.
That was the thing. I was, because I had to play completely no sell it. Like,
but we're all, I was hoping Scott would maybe bother him.
Yeah,
as well.
I was hoping that Scott was going to change his answer and then go back later on. But nah, stuck to his guns.
I just thought he'd scored more than one goal, but then when the Rangers went, that was the goal that I remember him scoring, so...
Perfect. And listen, with any luck, Scott, you'll get the chance to defend your crown this time next week. We'll have to be fair, it'll be a review and preview anyway, so we might not. But what I'm saying is, hopefully we've got a preview to do this time next week. But that will do us for this one. So thank you, everybody, as always, for watching and for listening. We will see you at Far Hill on Tuesday night. If you can't make it to Far Hill, the game is, of course, on the telly. But if you can possibly make it, I would massively encourage everyone to do so. I think if we can sell out that away end, it will go a long way to, shutting up these boing-boing clowns. So, anyway... we will do that on Tuesday night.
Splat.
We will be back either Wednesday or Thursday night to then look forward to Friday, which will be another huge, huge occasion. So, as I say, thank you and goodbye.